Deuteronomy 6 and 4, if you don't mind standing in honor of the word of God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, I want to read three verses here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou, notice that word and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Another translation says strength. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I wonder today if you would help me. We need to hear from God today. We don't just need to hear some words that come from a preacher's brain. We need to hear from God today. But that's going to require the Lord being able to use these lips of clay to speak to all of us in the way that he wants from his heart. Would you help me pray right now that God will do that? God, would you touch us today? Would you let your anointing flow? Oh, God, let me hide behind the cross. Let me be a conduit, Lord. Let me be a mouthpiece that you could speak to our hearts, God. We all need to hear from you, God, today. Would you speak to us? And we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Today I want to talk to you for a few moments upon this topic, first love. First love. You know, you might remember your first love in life. Maybe you had a kindergarten crush on your teacher. Maybe she was that first time you felt the woo-hoo-hoo, the love, you know, that love. Maybe that person at the desk across the aisle in your third grade class, maybe that's when you felt that first love. Maybe it was someone in high school, but you were too shy to let them know that you were in love with them. But those feelings ran deep. And we look back and we look fondly in our memories of what we would consider our first love, if you will. Many times it wasn't really love, as we all know, but it was feelings that lead towards love. Feelings of maybe an infatuation or a fondness or an attraction to. And it began to create butterflies in our insides, and we begin to feel all giddy or abnormal, if you will, in our actions. And I know when I was a little boy, I know it was a long time ago, but when I was a little boy, I remember, and this is the silliest thing that I can imagine, but I remember being, I don't know, kindergarten or first grade, and there was a little girl there. I couldn't tell you what she looked like. I was just a little boy, but boy, oh boy, I just thought she was the greatest thing. And I remember on recess, this is so silly. This is all I remember, is this little tiny, tiny little clip, if you will. But I remember on recess running by this girl. And as I ran by her, I kissed her on the head and I kept on running. And she looked at me like I had lost all my marbles, and I guess I had. Now, she probably wondered what in the world I was doing. She probably thought I was just really out there. Now, I don't know who she was. I couldn't tell you. Don't even remember what she looked like. But when I was a little kid in school, that was it. But you know, we look back and we see what we would call our first love. It would be someone that we really, really, really felt the strong feelings for, the earliest, if you will. But today, I'm not here to talk about the first time that you thought you were in love or the first time you knew you were in love. But rather, I want to talk to you about that depth of love that you felt at the beginning of the real relationship. Your first love in that relationship. A funny story, I heard it was a woman asked her husband, "Why don't you love me?" And the husband looked at her. He had surprise and shock in his eyes. And he said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "We've been married for 50 years now, and you never tell me that you love me, so I'm wondering why you don't love me." He looked at her, and he told her, he said, "I said I love you the first night of our honeymoon, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." You know, sometimes I wonder, that's a funny story, but sometimes I wonder, do we ever treat Jesus like that? Do we ever say, "Well, I Jesus knows I love him"? You know, the little song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And then we sing songs about how I love him too, and Jesus knows I love him. He knows my thoughts. You know, I just believe that Jesus loves to hear us say, "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for this day. I just wanted you to know that I'm still in love with you, Jesus. I want you to know you're still the best thing that's ever happened to me, Jesus. I want you to know that I love you more than anything or anyone." Oh, my. I believe he still wants to hear that we love him. I wonder, when was the last time that we actually demonstrated that we love him? Oh, we've heard it before that actions speak louder than words, and we've heard it before that lip service is one thing, but actions really tell the story, and sometimes, could it be that I might go through some level of mechanical love for him? I want to read just a little bit. I want to just talk a little bit about a few passages in the Word that stirs me. I feel like the Lord lays this on my heart, and I believe that even though we may know this, I really believe that with the Lord's help, we will all leave here, and maybe we will be able to analyze or take another look at our love for him. We read in our text, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, and talks about, "Hear, O Israel." This is a text that we love. We love to preach this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." We love the idea that we do not have many gods like the other nations. We love the idea that we have one Lord, that he is not many. He is not plural, but he is one. But it's interesting when we look at that next verse. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." Now that word, "and thou shalt," that's a command. That's a hey, this is what you will do. You have to do this with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. He said, "And these words which I command you this day." It's a commandment to love the Lord with all your heart. It's a commandment to love the Lord with all your soul and with all your might. "And these words which I command thee shall be in your heart." Anybody ever been speeding down the road in a hurry, got to get somewhere, and you're speeding and you're going way over the speed limit, and then you see Mr. Policeman up ahead, and you slow way down to the speed limit, and you drive very carefully past him with the speed limit. Is the commandment to follow the speed limit in your heart, or is it just because you saw Mr. Policeman? Well, I know we're all guilty there. We're all guilty there. And maybe I could take it a step farther and say, how many times have you gone down the road just really connected with God and said, God, thank you for sparing me from that speeding ticket. He didn't see me. If he would have saw me, I'd have got it. You know, we connect whenever we appreciate what God has done for us for doing wrong. And we see that a commandment to follow the speed limit doesn't always get followed. You know, whenever there's a commandment, I look at my life. I look at my childhood when my mom told me to do something. Sometimes she said, I want you to do this or that. I want you to, you know, go, I want you to go, you know, get the weeds out of the flower bed. But I realized in my heart that that was mom, and she'd forget about it a little bit. And so it wasn't really, I didn't look at it as a commandment, you know. It was a suggestion, a strong suggestion. It was a desire she had. But if I don't get the weeds out of the flower bed, then she's just going to forget about it, not do anything about it. And then, you know, she'll either go do it herself or later on we'll do it. And in the meantime, I can have fun. But there's other times that my mom would tell me to do something, and there was no question but that it was a commandment. If she said, I want you to do that, and you better go do it now or else. I never understood what else meant. I never knew, but I was scared to death of else. Because somehow that word, or else, I didn't understand the package. But it was tied to, well, my mom believed in spanking. I know that it's not popular. I know that it's being outlawed and everything else. But I'm telling you, my mom believed in spanking. And that word, you'll do it or else, was somehow tied to some pain, and usually it was on the backside of my body, and I didn't forget it soon. That's just the way my mom was, and she was strict whenever something was a commandment. You see, whenever we are following God, there's a lot of things in the Bible that you ought to do, you should do. It's profitable. But there are some things in the Bible that are a commandment, and I find myself, this old flesh of mine, that I like to sift through the Bible, and I like to be able to see things that are suggested, and I weigh them out, you know, if I'm going to do them or not, based on the fact that they are a good thing to do, they're a suggested thing to do, but I'm weighing it out because, you know, am I really willing to do it? Then there's other things that are a clear commandment. You know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's pretty clear. We all get it. We know it. We're not going to go out and have a carved idol in our house, and half the time we worship that and half the time we worship God. We're not going to do that because it's real clear. It's a commandment. And if somebody else said, oh, well, I have an idol in my house, half the time I worship the idol, half the time I worship the one true God, and you'd look at them and you'd say, are you nuts? Do you not realize that's a commandment? That you cannot have any other gods? False gods? Do you realize that's a commandment? And we would understand that. We would portray that with passion. But there are some commandments in the Bible that I wrestle with. There's some commandments in the Bible that he has commanded or required of me that are more difficult for me to follow. You know why? Because it interferes with what my flesh really wants to do. Let me give you an example. If I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, that means that if things start creeping into my heart that take my attention and pleasure away, much like it would from a spouse, then my God's not going to be happy. And am I really loving him with all my heart? Could I say this just as kind as I could, I'm not a hunter. I've never been big into hunting, but I know men that are big into hunting, and I think that the Lord raised men with the ability to hunt. That's just my opinion, and I think that's all good. But there can come a point to where I can begin to love hunting more than I love spending time with my spouse. You get the picture? If I'm if I'm loving to spend time with the hunters more than I love to spend time with my spouse, could it be? Could we begin to wonder if maybe my love for my spouse has waned and I have another love, and so therefore I don't love my spouse purely, completely, with all my heart because I've split my loyalty. I've split my love. Could it be? Now, if I just go hunting here and there and I have a good time and fun with friends, but then I come back home and I really love my wife, then I'm probably it's not getting in the way. But if it gets to the place to where, well, you know what I'm saying, and I find that the things that God commands of me, there's some things that they interfere with what my flesh really wants to do. And so I find it really interesting that this is in Deuteronomy, and it says, first of all, there's one Lord, and then you need to love that one Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, or all your might, and that these commands have to be in your heart. So we say, okay, well, that was the Old Testament. We move on into Jesus' ministry. There was a scribe that came up to Jesus and asked him a question. He said, you know, what's the first commandment, greatest of all commandments? And Jesus answered him. He told him, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. That's what he said. He said, he repeated it. And he said, this is the first and greatest of all commandments. Interestingly enough that this scribe said back to him these words. He said, well, or very good, Master, you have said the truth, for there is one God. This is a scribe. He's a church guy. He's one that writes. He knows the scriptures. He writes the scripture. He knows. He's a scribe. He records things. He is very detail oriented. And he said, there is one God. There was no question. And there is none other but he, even the scribe, got in there and added one more thing there. There is none other but he. And then the scribe continued, and he said, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength. See how he's going even, he's really unpacking this thing. And to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Wow. That's saying a lot. So this scribe is saying that you and I can do good things for God. We can even give to God out of our first fruits. We can even be willing to sacrifice a lot of things, give up a lot of things. Yet, this commandment to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might is greater than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. This scribe tapped into a key thing there. And it begins, if we begin to look at that, we begin to realize that we can actually serve God and do things for God and give up things and be a living example, if you will, of things that can be done good, and yet still not love him completely. Isn't that deep? Isn't that amazing? And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. I want to just take a quick look at a few things in Revelations. We're gonna go to Revelations. Amen. Amen. We're gonna go to Revelations, and we don't even have to have all these up on the screen. I'll have you put the last one on, but I just want to read quickly in Revelations, the second chapter. I'm gonna read from the ESV version for your understanding. John the Revelator is writing. He's doing what he's told to do. The Lord told him to write these things. And he wrote, to the church in Smyrna, seven churches, and he's writing this to the angel of the church, or the authority or the pastor of the church in Smyrna. He says this. He says, "I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue or a temple of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Then he had him write to the church in Pergamum. "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you." This is the Lord speaking to the church. "I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Yet you're doing good things, but I got a few things against you." To the church in Thyatira, he had him write, "I know your works, your love, your faith, your service, your patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first." In other words, you're doing it better than you've ever done. "But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols." To the church in Sardis, he had him write, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God." This one that we know well, to the church in Laodicea, he wrote, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. But you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." We see that these churches were doing good things. They were accomplishing many things. They were seeing their churches grow and great things happen. But in each of these situations, we see where God is saying, I know what you're doing, but I still got something that I'm not pleased with. Revelations 2:2, to the church in Ephesus. This is interesting what he put here. He put, "I know your works. I know your toil, your labor, your patient endurance. I know how you cannot bear with those who are evil. In fact, you have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be false." The King James says to be liars. "I know you are enduring patiently and you're bearing up for my name's sake. I know that, and I know that you have not grown weary. I know these things. I see these things. I see your efforts. I see your trying. I see everything you're doing. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at the first." You're doing good things. You're doing great things. But there was a love that you had at the first that you don't have now. It's become more mechanical. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first." He said, "If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." And as I get ready to close, I just the Lord burdened me with this. The Lord put this on my heart. And as he usually does, many, many times as he begins to burden me with something and I feel that he's given me a message for us, there's many, many times that I begin to look at my own life and I begin to ask myself, am I measuring up to what he really wants from me? Am I trying to live in the shadow, perhaps, of those who went on before me that may have been prayer warriors or may have been fast saints that knew how to fast, saints that knew how to pray and read the word? Do I walk in their shadow? Do I try to live on the coattails of what somebody else is either doing now or has done, or on the coattails of what I did at one time? It's interesting, in that letter to Ephesus, he said, you've abandoned your love you had at the first. But he said, repent and go back to the works that you did at the first. You know, I think that whenever we are what we term as converted, we go through what we call a conversion. In other words, we are exiting a life of sin and we are beginning a journey of walking with God and clean, repented, remitted sins. When we step over the threshold of that, what we call conversion, it's just like that first love, if you will, that you have in a relationship where you begin to feel a deep drawing close to the one that you appreciate so much. And I begin to think, what are the byproducts of that era, that space of time in the relationship? I see that people that what we call fall in love and they're so in love, you look at them and they're always together. They're always together. If one wants to go somewhere, the other one wants to go with them. We see that somebody that's fresh in love, they always want to please the other person. So if the other person doesn't like their hairstyle, that hairstyle's out. We're changing it like yesterday. You know what I mean? Oh, you don't like those shoes? No problem. I'll get rid of them. Oh, my. Oh, wow. Oh, my. And even if there's something, you know, like if somebody's going to go on a date and they're going to see the one that they are falling in love with, and maybe somebody's dropping them off at the restaurant or something, and they pull up, they stop and they ask their friend, is there anything in my teeth? You know why? Because they want to look the best. They don't want there to be anything that would be unattractive to that person that they've fallen in love with. Isn't that funny? Fast forward 10 years. Get up in the morning. Husband's going to stop by to pick up his lunch he forgot. Actually didn't forget it. He just didn't have time to make it because when he first got married, it was sitting there on the counter, and now it's not sitting there on the counter anymore. Well, praise God. That doesn't have to be in a marriage. I'm just saying that's just kind of humorous. And he comes back home, and he walks in the house, and he sees the wife stumble out of the bedroom, and she looks like Methuselah's grandmother. She's not worried about if there's anything in her teeth, In fact, she hasn't even put her teeth in yet. And it's just it's a different place. It's a different feel. And then you know, he thinks, why in the world doesn't she ever, you know, try to look nice for me? Have you looked in the mirror at yourself lately? Sometimes the man has kind of let himself go. He said, I don't want a girlish figure. Well, that was a good thing. But you didn't have to go to try to look like Buddha, you know. And sometimes the man can quit caring and just let himself go. Well, you know what I mean? It's funny how that is. He used to, I mean, my goodness, he'd race around the car to open her door first. And now he's wondering why she doesn't open his. You know what I mean? It's just things have changed a lot in the last 10 years. And we see the humorous things that happen in relationships and how they go down. And I look at that and I say, oh, God, help me to be a better husband. God, help me to be a better husband to my wife. I've got such a precious wife, and she is precious, and I want to take care of her. But then I get pricked, and I stop and I say, Lord, even more so than wanting to be a good husband to my wife, Lord, does this relate to my walk with you? Could it be that when I first stepped over that threshold of conversion and I began to walk with you, could it be that I don't feel the same attraction to talk to you like I used to? Could it be that those love letters that I looked forward to so much every day and opening them up and reading them, could it be that they don't really mean much to me and I don't even bother to open the mail, so to speak? I haven't read your word in a long time. I haven't really paid much attention to it. I've only done what I have to do. And Lord, could it be that in those early days when I began to serve you, I didn't know what you required, what you didn't, but you would prick my heart, Lord. I'd have certain things that just kind of, they didn't feel fun anymore. They just kind of bothered me when I did them, and I didn't know why. But after a little while, I started realizing that's you pricking me, Lord. You're telling me that you're not really happy with the things I'm reading or the things that I'm listening to or the places I'm going. I used to feel kind of like something was wrong, and it bothered me. And I begin to, as I begin to grow closer to you, I begin to realize that there were some things that you'd rather me not do. And even though I couldn't find it in the Bible not to do, I was glad to give it up because I wanted to be close to you. I wanted to feel your love just soaking through me, and I didn't want to do anything that would displease you. But now, Lord, could it be that now I measure things that I'm going to do or not do based upon if I can find the definition in your word? If your word doesn't give a clear definition, then it's up to me, and I can do what I want. And Lord, sometimes I kind of feel a little pricked about it, but I'm saying, hey, look all I'm doing for the Lord. I'm living for Him. I'm not out, you know, cheating and lying and stealing. So I'm okay. Could it be, Lord, that I've lost my first love? As I close, I just want to take a few moments. I know it's sobering here. I want to sing a song that just says "Touching Jesus," and maybe I'm the only one here that feels that there's room to get closer to God like I used to be. But if you feel that too, if you feel like that maybe we might be on fire for God's power, but could it be that this would be a good night, or good day rather, to reestablish my connection of love with Him? Could it be that right now I'm going to stop the world, so to speak, and say, Lord, It's all about you again. Everything else, I'm recommitting to you that everything else in my life is second place. You are my first love. There's lots of things I like to do, lots of places I like to go, lots of people I like, and lots of things I like. But God, I'm reestablishing today. I'm pushing those things aside to make room because you are my first love. I wonder if you would stand with me. I wonder if there's somebody that would take a few moments and connect with God. Can we do that? Can we just take a few moments and say, Lord, I may not be doing everything wrong, but Lord, I just want to get back to my first love. Can we take a few moments? Can we just let him know that we love him? Can we maybe we ought to recommit some things. Maybe we ought to say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I haven't done it in a long time, but starting tomorrow, I'm going to do this for you. Oh, can you reach out for it right now?
Is all that really matters.
It's going to show. We're not going to go a week without talking to him. We're not going to go a week without reading his letters to us. Oh God, let my love for you be so intense. forsake all other loves in light of your love. Oh, God, let my love for you
just to
be so passionate.
You.
I need you,
Jesus. Just to be close to you.
Help me.
Just to be close to you.
It's
my desire. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Is my desire. Oh, just to be close to you. Just to be. Just to be close to you is my desire. Just to be close to you. 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 Is my desire. Just to be. Just to be close to you. Oh, just to be close to you is my desire. Be close to you. Just to be close to you. Oh, just to be. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Is my desire.
Tell I do want to go back to that fresh first love that I had for him. His love's the same, but ours sometimes is up and down. That just goes to show how amazing his love is, because his doesn't go up and down with ours. He doesn't cast us aside whenever we're down, when we're up, when we're down. No, he patiently waits for us to return to our first love. Ephesus had lost their first love for him, and the first thing he said to do was, you got to repent. You know, sometimes it's hard to realize that we need to repent, because, you know, why would I repent? I haven't done anything wrong. Usually when I get that kind of a spirit and attitude, it usually indicates that what I need to start repenting of at the very first is my carnality, my fleshly blindness that does not even see the pride that's in myself to say that I don't need him. Oh. At the very beginning, I need to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't love you like I should. I'm sorry that I didn't do what you wanted me to do in that situation like I should. I'm sorry, Lord. When I was a fresh convert, I'd have done it. Oh my, I wouldn't have cared what anybody thought of me. But now, Lord, I sometimes don't always do everything I'm supposed to do, because I'm worried about what people think. God, please forgive me and take me back to that first love. Take me back. It doesn't matter what Aunt Sally thinks of me. It doesn't matter what Uncle Joe thinks of me. It doesn't matter what my mom and my daddy says. It doesn't matter what my brother, my sister, my children. It doesn't matter what anybody else does or what they believe. I'm going to love you with all of my heart. All of my heart, my soul, and my might. Oh, if we could get a hold of that. If we could get a hold of that. What husband or wife would not want their spouse to draw closer? I don't care how close they are. What husband or wife would not want their spouse to love them even more? And we are the bride of Christ. Oh, God, I love you now, but I want to love you more. God, I love you now, but God, this year I want to love you more than I ever have before. Help me to love you, God. Oh, God, draw me close to you. Let me be close to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, isn't he an amazing God? Willing to die.